Good morning. Did you enjoy that worship service?
Yes.
Will you welcome each other and say welcome to CCF, welcome. Say hi to the people in the overflow room. Welcome everybody. I want to thank you for praying for us. I arrived last week. We had a wonderful time in the Holy Land. Almost 198 of us went together. And this is the Mount Sinai experience. And then we had around 87, 88 that were baptized. Praise God. They committed their life to Jesus. So you are always our partners. When I'm not here, you pray for us. God is at work. And this is the famous Dome of the Rock. You see the Dome of the Rock behind. And these are the people. And God did amazing work in our lives. The Bible became alive. I shared with them biblical prophecy. Ladies and gentlemen, you will notice Jerusalem will always be in the newspaper. Israel will always be in the newspaper. Unlike other countries, where in the world can you find a country that is non-existent for 2,000 years? And after 2,000 years, you have the nation called Israel. Not only do you have a nation called Israel, it is always in the headline. Because the Bible says in the prophecy, Israel will be a pain in the neck. People will not like Israel. But Israel will just become stronger and stronger. God is at work. Today we will discuss the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is part of our series on the Holy Spirit. Do you have your Bibles with you? All right. If you have your Bibles with you, I will ask you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. Put your finger there. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for the worship service. We thank you for the music. We thank you for the freedom we have in this country to gather together, to sing, the freedom of proclaiming your name, the freedom of evangelizing people, and the freedom to express our belief. Lord, what a privilege it is indeed. And we pray for our country. Lord, you know there are all kinds of problems, but I thank you there are no problems that is too big for you. We pray for the president, for the cabinet members, that you will likewise continue to guide them, give them wisdom. And I pray for real transformation. Help our leaders develop a desire for character, integrity. Give them a desire for righteousness. And help our people learn to pray for this country, to live lives that are pleasing and glorifying to your name. I now pray for everybody here, those who are guests, those who are hurting, those who are struggling, that we will all learn to know you more. We will all learn to love you more. Guide us. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. What is your gift? Do you know you have a gift from the Lord? At least one gift. Everybody, let's read this one more time. God commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we are not filled, it is because we are living beneath our privileges. God gives us the Holy Spirit to accomplish two things for us. Many more, but at least two things. Number one, to give us the fruit of the Spirit. That's called character transformation. You and I, we need the Holy Spirit to transform our lives. You cannot live up to the biblical standards of holy living apart from the Holy Spirit. The Christian life is not hard, it is impossible. So we need the Holy Spirit to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, you need the Holy Spirit so that you will receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for service. Notice the Christian life. The Christian life begins with salvation. It leads to sanctification. It leads to service. What's the first word? Salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, the Bible says you are saved. So you are saved when the Spirit of God enters your life through faith. When you believe in the gospel. Number two, you are made holy. You are sanctified through the fruit of the Spirit. He gives you the power. And then you are able to serve God when He gives you the gift, when He gives you the power to serve Him. So everything is a gift from God. Salvation is a gift from God. Sanctification is a gift from God. Service is a gift from God. It is a privilege. But you got to do your part. My part in salvation is to believe, to trust Him. My part in sanctification, I got to do my part. I got to surrender to Him. My part in service, I got to obey Him. Do my part. The fruit of the Spirit, everybody, let's read this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I tell all young ladies of CCF, you want to marry somebody who is filled with the Holy Spirit. And then your boyfriend and your future husband will be what? full of love, full of joy, full of peace. Ladies, do you like to marry somebody who is the opposite of this? Instead of love, bitterness. Instead of joy, sadness. Do you like to marry somebody like that? Every morning you see him as if he's coming from the funeral service all the time. You know, there are people like that. There's no joy, no life. You need to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will transform your life. He gives you joy. I cannot explain this. He gives you peace. Then you need the Holy Spirit for service. Look at the biblical example. Othniel, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Gideon, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Jephthah, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Samson, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. In the book of Exodus, God used the Holy Spirit to equip the people to serve him. The Lord spoke to Moses, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Everybody read. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic design for work in gold, silver, in bronze, etc. You see, you need the gift of the Spirit to do the work of God, including the building of the temple, including the building of the tabernacle. And I praise God for our architect. You know, architect, go and the rest of the team. You pray for them. I pray for all the volunteers who will get involved in the building project. You need the gift of the Spirit. We need God's gift to give us wisdom, to give us the power to do what He wants us to do, and to give us the ability to give, to give us the ability to serve, to give us the ability to provide for the needs of the church of God. Yes or no? Do you need the gift of the Spirit? You need it. Many people are frustrated. They are tired. You know why? Because they are serving God in their own strength. You are serving God in your own power. And pretty soon you burn out. You get tired. The Christian life is not supposed to be like that. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul. When Saul became king, God equipped him to be king. When David became king, everybody read, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed David in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Very important. You have the Holy Spirit. Everybody, let's read this. God's Word without God's Spirit will lead to dead orthodoxy. God's Spirit without God's Word will lead to fanaticism. Let me explain to you. If you observe churches today, they go to two extremes. One, they focus only on the Word of God. If you only focus on the Word of God, you don't teach about the Holy Spirit, it leads to dead orthodoxy. It becomes a ritual. Understand? It becomes routine. It becomes legalistic. On the other hand, some churches, they only focus on the Holy Spirit. If you just focus on the Holy Spirit without the Word of God, you go astray. Everything is based on feeling. Everything is based on experience. You don't judge experience based on the truth of the Word of God. You judge truth based on feeling. That is very dangerous. So you need to balance Holy Spirit and the Word of God. So the Word of God plus the Spirit of God will result in what? Dynamic Christian living. A life that will bring honor and glory to the Lord. A church that will bring honor and glory to God. You don't want people to be coming here and then we are extreme. We don't teach the Word of God properly. People go astray. They are not attracted to Jesus. In order to attract people to Jesus, you got to follow the biblical model. Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that's what we want to teach you today. In the past few weeks, we have been discussing about the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat, the Christian life is not hard. It is impossible. You need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference, ladies and gentlemen, between having the Holy Spirit and having the fullness of the Spirit of God. You can have the Holy Spirit, but you don't have the fullness of the Spirit of God in your life. You are not filled, saturated, controlled by the Spirit of God. There's a big difference. When do you have the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us. When do you have the Holy Spirit? Everybody read. In Jesus, after listening to the message of truth, you got to listen first to the message of truth. The gospel of your salvation. You got to listen to the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel means good news. What is the good news? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again on the third day. He rose again from the dead to give us what? Life, to prove that He is the Messiah, the Son of God. The Bible says when you believe, Jesus died for you. If you believe and you give your life to Jesus, look at what the Bible says. Having what also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. Let me explain. When you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us He comes into your life. So the evidence of a Christian is somebody who has the Holy Spirit. The book of Romans chapter 8 tells us, if a man does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to Him. So who is a Christian? A Christian is somebody who by faith have heard the gospel and has by faith committed his life to Jesus and by faith trusted in Jesus alone for his salvation. And the Holy Spirit comes into his life. That's automatic. That's the grammar. Look at the grammar one more time. Read it one more time. In Jesus, after what? Listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed. Forget those two lines. Okay? You are not supposed to have those two lines, okay? I mean, it's supposed to be connected, okay? After listening to the gospel of your salvation, everybody read, having what? Having also believed, simultaneously you were sealed. So when will the Holy Spirit come into your life? When? Answer? The day you believe. Look at how we are saved. Everybody, let's read this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works that no one should boast. Most of us stop here. You should not stop here. Salvation is by faith. Praise God. It is through grace. For by grace, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. It is the gift of God. Salvation is an amazing thing. It's by grace. I don't deserve this. It's by faith. Not because of good works. But don't stop in verse 9. You got to go to verse 10. What is verse 10? Everybody? For we are created, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You need the Holy Spirit to do good works. That is the big picture. You see the big picture now? We are saved not by good works. We are saved to do good works. And how do you do good works? Through the Holy Spirit. God gives you the gift. Do you know your gift? Are you excited to know what is your gift today? Turn to your neighbor. Ask your neighbor, do you know your gift? Now be honest. Be honest and answer them. Do you know your gift? If you don't know your gift, look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. No comprende. I don't even know I have a gift. That's okay. That's why I'm here to teach you. Everybody, what is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Please read this. The gifts of the Spirit are special abilities provided by the Holy Spirit to Christians for the purpose of building up believers and serving others. So God gives you a special ability. All of you have at least one special ability to serve God. Abilities are given by God to serve Him. This is by John Piper. Everybody read this. A spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith, either in word or deed, for the strengthening of someone else's faith. Many of our friends outside CCF need to be strengthened by their faith. They don't know anything about the Lord. You need to help them grow. They need to know the Lord. When you know the Lord, your faith will grow. Everybody read? Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. What is another word for unaware? Unaware means ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. God wants you to know about spiritual gifts. So this morning, I want to share with you a couple of things about spiritual gifts. But before I do that, let's read verse 4, 5, and 6. There are what? Varieties of gifts. Meaning there are many gifts, but from the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries. The Holy Spirit will give you gifts, abilities, so that you will get involved in different ministries. Ushering ministries, children ministries, small group ministries, all kinds of ministries. There are many ministries. And then look at verse 6. There are varieties of effects, different results from the same Spirit. Everybody read this. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Underline in your Bible, each one. Do you have your Bibles with you? 1 Corinthians 12, underline that word, Each one is given the Holy Spirit. Each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This morning, I want to share with you the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Three important things. Number one, everybody read. The Holy Spirit is given to every believer. The gift of the Spirit is given to every believer. Number two, the gift of the Spirit is used to help others. You are to use it to help others. Number three, it is discovered and developed through faithful service. Number one, everyone has a gift. The gift of the Spirit is given to every believer. You have at least one gift. Notice, given to every believer, at least one gift. Turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you have at least one gift. You have at least one gift. Look at me now. Everybody, look at me. You, all of you who are believers, you have at least how many gifts? One. What is that gift for? To be used to help others. You are given a gift. Not for you to boast, not for you to be proud, but for you to help others. Say that with me. To help others. So I'm given at least one gift to help others. And what's number three? How do you discover it? Through faithful service. Nothing is more exciting than to discover your gift and to serve God with your gift. Nothing is more fulfilling than to be in the center of God's will, serving Him based on His calling, based on His giftedness. Nothing is more rewarding than to be where God wants you to be. And my friend, if you are not living a fulfilled life, a life that's overflowing, you always feel something is missing. I will tell you what is missing. You have not understood what it means to serve God in the power of the Holy Spirit. To be where God wants you to be. To serve Him where He wants you to serve Him. To serve Him based on His giftedness. Many people are tired. They feel like giving up because they are doing what they are not gifted to do. Do you remember this amazing school? This was organized by a group of animals. Okay, they had a convention. In order for the human species to respect us, we will put up a school. They will teach other animals how to swim, how to run faster, how to climb faster, and how to fly. Well, they first got the duck. They told the duck, "You are so good in swimming, but you're lousy in running. We will now enroll you to teach you how to run." So, you know, how do you run, you know, duck? Man, they force the duck to run. They teach the duck how to run. Eventually, the feet of the duck, the web was torn apart. The duck had a hard time swimming again. And then they got the rabbit. "Rabbit, you are so good in running, but you are lousy in swimming. We will teach you how to swim." So they dunked the rabbit in the water. You know, the rabbit had a nervous breakdown. He had a hard time running again. And then they saw the squirrel. "Squirrel, come. You are so good in climbing, but we need to teach you how to fly. Every time you climb the tree, you got to jump. When you jump, you spread your legs apart." And they kept asking the squirrel, "Climb! Jump! Climb! Jump!" What happened to the squirrel? Another nervous breakdown. And finally, they saw this eagle. "Eagle, you are so good in flying, but the truth, you're lousy in swimming, you're lousy in running, you're lousy in climbing." You know, the eagle almost had a heart attack. There are some Christians today, you don't know your giftedness. You are doing what God did not design you to do. On the other hand, some of you are gifted. You know your gift, but you don't want to do it. Well, this morning I want to encourage you. Number one, you have a gift. Say that with me. Turn to your neighbor. You got a gift. You got a special gift. Use it, okay? Number two, it is for what? To serve others. What's number three? How do you discover it? Through a faithful service. You will find out. Let's look at the Bible. Are you ready? Each one is given what? To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You see, each one is given for the common good, to be used for others. Let's read this together. As each one, everybody, as each one has received a special gift. Each one, you have a special gift. Employ that in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Notice, in this verse alone, you learn many truths. Number one, each one has a special gift. Yes or no? That means you are special. That means you are very important. That means you are unique. Will you turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you are special. You are precious. The problem with many believers, we want to compare with each other. We want to compare our gifts with others. The Bible tells us God has given you a special gift. That's yours. Don't compare. Don't be jealous. Don't be envious. You are who you are. By the grace of God, He designed you. And then notice, what are you going to do with that gift? You got to use it in serving others. Say that with me. Employ it in serving others. Employ that in serving others. Use it to serve others. You don't use your gift for yourself. You use it to help others. Not for selfish reason. And then number three, notice the word, as good stewards. Do you realize you have a responsibility to use your gift? It is a responsibility given to you. It is a privilege and a responsibility. Say that with me. Privilege, responsibility. If you are not using your gift, you are not a good steward of the Lord. The word steward means what? Manager. God gifted you. What are you doing with that gift? Remember that famous saying? What we are is a gift from God. And what you do with your gift is your gift to the Lord. Remember that saying? So what are you doing with your gift? You got to use it. Notice the next verse. He gives example of gifts. Whoever speaks, let him speak. As it were, the utterances of God. So the gift of speaking. Another gift, whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies. What's the purpose? Everybody read. In all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So when you serve God, when you use your gift, it is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. It is to bless others, to give glory to Him. What have we learned so far? Everyone has a gift. Tell your neighbor one more time. You have a gift. Do you know your gift? Number two, you are to use your gift to what? To help others. To bring honor to the Lord. And number three, how do you discover your gift? Through faithful service. Look at the sequence. First, you got to know, Lord, you gave me a gift. Secondly, I will use my gift to help others. And thirdly, what? I will discover it. Now, I give you a piece of paper. All of you have a piece of paper in the bulletin, in the chronicle. It's called spiritual gifts. This is a listing of the spiritual gifts. It is not a complete list of all spiritual gifts. Understand? This is not an exhaustive list, but this is the list you find in the Bible. Example, not the whole Bible, but in the passages of scriptures that deals with gifts. Example, Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Peter 4, verse 10 to 11. So these are lists of gifts. They are not exhausted. The Bible did not intend for us to know all the gifts that God has given. There are many other gifts that are not mentioned here. But these are just samples. Do you understand? What's my proof? Very easy. When the Bible was written, example, the book of Corinthians, you have a list of gifts, only found in the book of Corinthians. You have a list of gifts that's only found in the book of Ephesians. You have only a list of gifts that's found in the book of Peter. In other words, this is not meant to be exhaustive. It's for you to have an idea. Now, look at the gifts. Which one is your gift? Okay? You study this today in your breakout group. Okay? Discuss this. Now, can I ask you a question? Some of you, I remember, maybe you were jokingly telling me, Peter, my gifts are not here. It's not mentioned here. So I ask you, what is your gift? Oh, Pastor, I have this amazing gift. It's called the gift of criticism. I am good in telling others what's wrong with them. I am good in criticizing. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I will assure you that is not a gift. That is a sin. Okay? Some other women, they tell me I got the gift of gossiping. I love to gossip. I like to pass on information. My friend, that is not a gift. What is that? That's a sin. The gift is to help others, to build up others. Whatever you do, the gift is to edify people, to help others. If you say it's a gift, it's not helping others, friend, you are not part of the list here. Understand? God wants you to use your gift to help others. So let me give you an example. All of us has a gift. How is that word used to describe everyone has a gift? It is used to help others. Let's look at verse 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Everybody read this together. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. The Bible tells us God decides what gifts you must have. What it says, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Now people ask me, is it wrong for me to ask for a particular gift? My answer is, it's not wrong. It's okay to ask for gifts. But just realize, God decides what? In the final analysis, He decides what gifts you must have. So if you look at your life, if you look at your experience, if you look at your passion, what do you like to do? What you don't like to do? Do you know God works through your passion also? God will not ask you to do something that will make you miserable. Understand? For example, if you don't like music, you don't know how to play music, you hate music, do you think you have the gift of music? I don't think so. God made you the way you are. Unique. Special. So He makes an illustration. The illustration is found in verse 12. Everybody read. Even as the body, we are one body, we have many members. Meaning, the hands, the eyes, the organs, the lungs, the chest. We have many members. And all the members are part of the body. Though there are many, there's only one body, so it's Christ. That's the illustration of the church. Different parts of the church. Body. God, everybody read, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body as He desired. So God decides what part of the body you will play. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members. See, many, many of us. Different parts. Now look at verse 21, the example. Please read. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. You know the meaning of that? You are very important. You cannot be proud. You cannot say, I don't need you. We all need each other. Let me give you an example. You're an eye, okay? You look down on the other parts. I don't need you. Now imagine there's a fly. The fly lands in your eye. Okay? You don't want to use your hand. The hand will not cooperate, okay? Because you look down on the hand. The hand decided to strike. To strike, okay? I won't work anymore. You don't want me? Okay. So there's a fly in your eye. How do you remove the fly? What? How do you remove the eye? Very simple. The hand will what? You use your hand. Now, you are telling me the hand is not important? You see, everyone is important. The problem of ignorance, when it comes to the gifting of the Holy Spirit, is you either become proud. You think, boy, I'm better than others. Or you become jealous. How come I'm not like him? Well, God made you differently. Worst of all, you become critical. You know how you become critical? You expect everybody to be like you. How come you are not like me? The answer is very simple. The reason I'm not like you, because I am not you. You know, many husbands, many wives. You know, one time my wife came, my wife talked to me. My wife said, honey, I think you like to marry Peter Tanchi. So what do you mean? You like me to be like you. You know what? Do you know what my wife is saying? Honey, I am not like you. I see things differently. Praise God. My wife is not like me. Are you happy? I am happy. She's not like me. Imagine if everybody's like me. Man, we got a problem. Okay? So, the Bible is very clear. You got to realize you are important. Let's look at another passage. Look at Romans. I'm just giving you a sample. Everybody read this. And so we, who are many, are one body in Christ. Individually, members, one of another. We are members of each other. Understand? We are together. And many people don't understand the ministry of the body of Christ. I love Jesus. And because I love Jesus, I love the body of Christ. I love the church of God. Some people don't like the church. You know why they don't like the church? They don't understand the theology of the church. The church is very important. You are part of the church. We need to love the church, the body of Christ. In the church, God has given us different gifts. Let us look at verse 6. And since, everybody, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. You got to use your gift. Because we are all different, we need each other. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Prophecy means what? You look at your notes, but let me just quickly explain. It's giving the message of God. Prophecy is not always telling the future. It is declaring the message of God. In fact, in the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, seek the highest gift. Other than love, it's the ability to speak forth the message of God. The gift of prophecy. Be able to speak the word of God. If service, everybody read? In his serving. In teaching, if your gift is teaching, you teach. Verse 8. By the way, how do you know your gift is teaching? You know, some people, they come to me, Peter, that's my gift, teaching. Praise God. How do you know? If you are given a class to teach, starts with 30 people, and after 1 week, it becomes 25. After another week, it becomes 20. After another week, the class becomes 15. Understand? After another week, the class becomes 10. And you tell me, I have the gift of teaching. What will I say? Let's pray some more. Let's pray some more. Okay? Because the gifting has to be validated. You got to see what other people will have to say. Because your giftedness is validated by the leadership. It is validated by other people. You know, when people tell you I have the gift of teaching, you also remind them, I may not have the gift of listening to you. The point is, we are all different. Now, look at verse 8. He who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality. Man, you like this gift? The gift of generosity. Praise God. Some of you are generous. I know that. I've seen some of you in action. You just like to give. Praise God. He who leads with diligence. Some of you have the gift of leadership. Some, mercy with cheerfulness. 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Notice it ends with love. The same thing with 1 Corinthians. Talks about gift and then talks about the importance of love. You know, the gift of the Spirit without love can be a dangerous thing. You need to use the talent of the Lord given to you. But you need to use it in love or to help others. So let me give you an example. This lady is sick. She's in the hospital. Now, how do we help each other? Different gifts. The first one comes around. Her name is Mercy. She has the gift of mercy. Gift of mercy, you know what they will usually say? You must feel so bad. Let me stay with you. See, that's the gift of mercy. Some of you have this gift. You like to help people. Well, what about this guy? This girl? The gift of administration. Is somebody taking care of your house? Who will bring the children to school? Do you know this? You have different gifts, so you respond differently to problems. You see things differently. That's the gift of what? Administration. Another person comes. This is a D12, understand? They have different D group members. So they're coming to visit the sick person. Oh, there's a guy. Usually it's same sex, right? But this is a mixed group, okay? Mixed group. So the guy comes around. Everybody likes this guy. You know why they like him? What is his gift? The gift of giving. Do you have enough money to pay the bill? Do you just wish everybody in your D12, D group has the gift of giving? Man, I remember two years ago, I was in Los Angeles. I was giving a seminar, and I talked about my watch. I said, I need to buy a watch. My watch is not working anymore. Would you believe it? At the end of the service, somebody came and gave me a watch. And I didn't want to receive it. He said, Pastor, don't deprive me of the privilege of giving. You know, I got hit. He said, don't deprive me of my future reward. I should have said, I made a joke, you know, to my wife. I should have said, you know, I really need a car. Job only, huh? Encourager, the gift of encouraging. You will get well soon. You know, some people, when you meet them, they know how to encourage you. Now, this guy, I don't know if you like this person, the gift of teaching. What is God teaching you now? You know, my wife tells me, I got to be careful with this gift. You know, I've learned a lesson. When I go to a funeral service, when somebody's sick, the first thing I do, I no longer say, "What is God teaching you?" Imagine if somebody is in the hospital, he's dying, and you have only these people visiting him, and everybody keeps looking at this patient. What is God teaching you? Mamatay na nga, no? He's dying already, and you keep saying, "What is God teaching you?" So we need different individuals, different gifts. Now, which one is your favorite? Listen to me. We need all of the above. Understand? If I were you, you ask yourself. Now, this is just a sample. Do you have the gift of mercy? In our family, for example, somebody spilled the glass. In our D12 meeting, if we have a conference, and somebody spilled the glass, breaks the glass, you will see the gift of God in operation. For example, if my wife is there, the first thing my wife will do, she will run to the kitchen, she will get a mop, she will clean it. My wife has the gift of help. Now, there may be some of us, your gift is administration. You will say, "Don't move. Don't move. The glass is broken. You get a mop. You," okay? In other words, that is his style, the gift of administration. You replace the glass, okay? You. Different giftedness. Now the problem is this. If you don't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you become judgmental. You see a problem. Example, you see a problem in CCS. You attend a small group, you see a problem. And because people don't see the way you see it, you get angry. How come? How come you're not doing anything about it? The problem is that is not his gift, understand? When you see a problem, like that sick person, look at how they saw the problem. The first one, I think you need company. You need somebody to stay with you. The other one, you know, your problem is you need to pay your bill. You see, so when you see things differently, and you react differently, and others don't react the way you react, you got to be careful. Don't judge people, because you are different. You see things differently. My advice, whatever is bothering you, perhaps God is speaking through you, and that's your giftedness. You are sensitive to a particular need. God wants you to help. Example, if you find out that in CCF we need to be more loving, to be more welcoming, maybe you should volunteer in the ushering, because that's your gift. For some of you, you find out that the sound system or the light is not ideal. Maybe God wants you to do something about it. But we will not always have the same conclusion. We will not see the same thing. Understand? So when I'm with my wife, I've learned a lesson. My wife sees things differently. I praise God for her. I see things differently. So instead of quenching my wife, instead of arguing with my wife, we learn to listen to each other. What's your perspective? What's your perspective? Understand? So this is very important. We all have what? One gift. At least one gift. You must use it to what? To help others. And then how do you discover your gift? Be part of a small group. When you're in a small group, you're given the opportunity to help. For example, in a big group, I will not know your problems. You just come on Sunday, I look at you, you look at me. I don't know what's going on in your life. But in my D12, in my D group, I meet with them every week. We know each other. If they're having financial problem, I will know. If somebody's sick, I will know. If somebody's having marital problem, we will know. And in the midst of problems, you see the body of Christ working. We have some people who are very sensitive. They have the gift of listening. So when somebody has a problem, they want to be there to listen. Do you have the gift of listening? You know, some people don't have that gift. They have a hard time listening. Well, we are all different. But are you part of a small group? In a small group, you can exercise your gift. You can help. You can encourage. Understand? You can observe. Now, just for my curiosity, how many of you are already part of a small group? Raise your hand. Praise God. There are still others who are not. I advise you, sign up. You sign up, be part of a small group. You look for others who are part of a small group. After the service, you go to that room. You see that room? hospitality room. You sign up there. We have different pastors that are helping. They are right there. All the pastors will usually be there to do counseling, to help. And you sign up. And then if you want to join a group, and nobody calls you after 3 weeks, somebody will give you a gift. And this morning, I asked the pastors to stand up, but they are not here. They are over there. Okay, you have we have different pastors. And you let me know, okay? After a few weeks, you sign up, and you are not part of a group, nobody calls you, you let me know. I want to help you, okay? But that's the idea. How do you know your gift? I suggest you look for opportunities. Be part of a small group. And then, remember this quotation. How do you know your gift? Everybody read this, please. Do what you can, where you are, with what you have. Repeat. Do what you can, where you are, with what you have. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, let's summarize, is given to every believer. It is used to help others. It is discovered and developed through faithful service. All of you have a gift. Use it to help others. Develop it through faithful service. You know, let me give you an example of the importance of understanding the gift to be used to help others. Let's read this verse one more time. Everybody. As each one has received a special gift, use it to serve one another. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, let's read this one more time. To each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. What is the meaning of the word common good? To be a blessing to others. Because of this important truth, the church at Corinth was rebuked, was scolded by the Apostle Paul, because they were abusing the gift. Because there was a group who kept on insisting, you must have the gift of tongues. They were elevating the gift of tongues. So Paul explains, everybody, read this together. Let all things be done for edification, to build up the body. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three. Each in turn. Let one interpret. If there is no interpreter, everybody, let him keep silent in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. The next verse tells us God is a God of order, not disorder. What's the point? In CCF, we do not prohibit. We do not say the gift of tongue is no longer in existence. We don't teach that. At the same time, we say the most important gift is not the gift of tongue. The most important gift, you look at the Bible, it must be used to help others. Understand? Therefore, whoever has this gift, this is the guideline. This is the guideline we follow. Look at verse 27. Let's read that one more time. What's the guideline? If anyone speaks in a tongue, by two or the most three, each in turn, let one interpret. If there's no interpreter, keep silent. So if I'm in a meeting and I see somebody start speaking in tongues, I will ask him, any interpreter? No interpreter? Please keep silent. Because the purpose of the tongue is not to impress people that you have the gift. In fact, the gift of tongue is the most abusive gift, and it is the most easily counterfeit. In different religions, from Muslim to Buddhism, almost all of these religions, they have tongue speaking. But I'm not saying tongue speaking is wrong. It's a wonderful gift if you use it properly for the glory of God. Everybody, let's read this. The church is at its best when we see ourselves as participants, not spectators. Contributors, not consumers. You know, somebody once was asked to describe a basketball game. Well, I like to paraphrase this. Because he was asked to describe what is a football game. I will not paraphrase what is a basketball game. A basketball game, a church should not like be a basketball game. What is a basketball game? You have 10 men playing. These 10 men, they are in need of rest. And you have 20,000 people watching who need to exercise. A church is not a basketball game. We are not to be spectators. You are to be out there in the field. You are not just to be watching. You are to be involved. So ladies and gentlemen, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number one, everyone is what? Given. You have a gift. You are responsible to use that gift. Are you using your gift? Now, how can you use your gift if you don't even know what it is? Well, you get involved in ministry. Everybody, let's read this. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Notice, different gifts. But what's the job of pastors and teachers? Look at verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Notice, everybody should be a participant. And what is our job? Our job is to equip you. And that is why in CCF we don't have many programs. Our programs are so simple. Number one, be part of a small group. In the small group, there's discipleship. We want to teach you, develop your character. We want to train you. What's the next program? Training, leadership training. You come on Wednesday night. You come on Thursday night. You come on Saturday. You attend leadership training classes. We want to train people to serve the Lord. Look at that verse. Look at verse 12. Everybody read. For the equipping of the saints. So our job is to equip everybody. So we train you. We train you in small group. We train you in the class. For what purpose? To equip us. Turn to your neighbor to equip you. To equip you for what purpose? To equip you to serve the Lord. So all of us are to be workers. The problem with the church of God today, in many churches today, you only see the pastor and some workers doing all the work. And the rest are spectators. They are just watching. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the design of the body of Christ. The body, every part must function. You know, I've discovered something about the heart. Do you know your heart beats over 100,000 times a day? What will happen if your heart will stop working? What about the vessels? Do you know that the blood circulates over 160 million miles a day? It goes around through your capillaries, through your vessel. You see, every part is important. The lungs, it's important. The lung must function. The kidney must function. Do you know that your intestine will process 7 pounds of waste material every day? 7 pounds. You digest the food, it will process. So don't eat too much, okay? You're overloading your intestine, your kidney. My whole point is you are all important. But the body of Christ is equally important. All of us, everybody read verse 12. For the equipping of the saints. For the work of... Now, who is supposed to do the work of the ministry? According to verse 12. Who is supposed to do the ministry? According to verse 12. Look at your Bible. Don't look at me. Look at the Bible. Who is supposed to do the work? Louder. The pastors? The teachers? Who? Who are the saints? Oh, turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. You are the saints. You are the worker. And that is why many Christians, eventually, they lose their what? Vigor. Their energy. They don't understand. You know, do you discover something? If you just keep sitting down at home, if you just keep sitting down, you don't work, you get so tired. And when we are so tired, you don't know what to do anymore because you have been doing nothing. And you are so tired doing nothing. Last night, yesterday afternoon, my daughter was tired. I was tired. My wife was tired. I was telling them, what's wrong with us? We are so tired yesterday. And you know, my daughter said, Daddy, I don't know what's happening. I'm so tired. Can I just sleep? You know what I told her? Let's go and exercise. We got to do something. So we exercise in the afternoon. Now, when you come to our place, you will see me. Usually, I exercise in the morning. I exercise at night. We walk. You know, after she was jogging, after she jogged, she came back. Dad, I'm energized. Spiritually, the same thing. If you are tired, perhaps you are doing nothing. You need to exercise your muscle. Get involved in the ministry. Understand? Get involved. Sunday school, small group. Just the small group alone. What's your gift? You know, some of you are good in bringing people. You bring people. Understand? You pray for people. You encourage people. Some of you are good in cooking. Okay, you take care of the food. Okay? But not all the time. Okay? You share. But I know not everybody can become a... Not everybody can teach the Bible. I know that. But at least, you can help. You can have 10 pages. Oh, I know the Bible. I will help you. In other words, do something. By all means, do something. Understand? How many of you know how to sail a boat? You know how to sail a boat. And you are sailing. And the boat is not moving. Understand? The boat is not moving. What happens? You cannot steer it. You cannot tell the boat, go left. Because the boat is not moving. The only way for a boat to go left or go right, you have to move forward. Understand? You got to move forward. When you don't move forward, you cannot guide the boat to go left, go right. It has to be moving. The wind has to be blowing, the sail has to be up, and then you need to turn it left and right. The same thing with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God cannot guide you. It cannot show you direction. If you are doing nothing, if your sail is down and you are just there parked, God cannot guide you. There's nothing to guide. You know why? You are doing what? Nothing. So turn to your neighbor. Start doing something. Say, Pastor, I have the gift of sitting. Wonderful. After sitting, what must you do next? Do something. Now I will teach you how to discover your gift. Are you ready? All right? Very simple. What did I say? You discover your gift through what? Faithful service. You know, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul did to Timothy. Everybody read this. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you. You know, my job as your pastor is to remind you to rekindle afresh the gift that is in you. All of you have a gift. The only problem is it's dormant, some of you. You need to rekindle it. Timothy was tired. Timothy felt like giving up. I want to rekindle your gift. Now, how do you rekindle your gift? Everybody, this is a simple guidelines. You got to have the right attitude. Okay, what is the attitude? God has a gift. All of us have this one gift. What's the next thing? You got to be faithful in small things, faithful. And then what must you do? You volunteer. And then what must you do? You wait for feedback. Understand? Feedback is very important. You will be affirmed. So what's the first one? Do you have the right attitude? Yes, you have the right attitude. To serve others, to glorify God. Yes or no? That is given already. What's the next one? Faithful. Are we faithful in small things? Are you faithful? You got to walk with the Lord. And then what must you do? Volunteer. Feedback. Let me give you an example in the Bible. Let's look at David. Everybody, let's read this. Let's look at the life of David. David, Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. From that day forward, David knew he was anointed king. From that day forward, the family knew David was the future king of Israel. Understand? He was told, you are the king of Israel, and he was anointed with the Spirit, not just oil, symbolic of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to the life of David mightily. Now, if you are David, what will you do now? Knowing that you are the future king of Israel, what will you do? Will you now just sit? Everybody, look at me, the king. The king is coming. Is that what you will do? What did David do? Remember? Faithful. Faithful with your life. David was the youngest. Being the youngest, look at verse 15. David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. When you're the youngest, what do most people do with you? If you're the youngest, utos dito, utos dyan. Yes or no? Utos in English is what? Commanded. Commanded to do this, commanded to do that, get me a glass of water, get me this, get me that. David was the youngest. He was faithful. Imagine the king. But what was he doing? Messenger boy. Go here, go there. Shepherd. He was in the palace. Saul asked David to stay with him to play the music. David could have told his father, Daddy, I am very busy now. I am the future king. So I cannot do what you want me to do. Okay, Daddy, I am the future king. In fact, Daddy, I am the king. You are just my daddy. Stop ordering me around. No, no, no. The Bible tells us, look at verse 15. David went what? Back and forth. Faithful in small things. You know, I have people, literally, missionaries, workers. I give them this opportunity. Why don't you try this? They refuse to try. I volunteer. They won't even try. You know why? They're choosy. They're very picky. Where they should be working, how they should be working, what position they should have. Can I tell you, if that's your attitude, you may never discover what God has designed you to do. And that's why it is dangerous to take that test. You know that test, the Holy Spirit inventory list? Because that's not how you really discover your gift. That list of tests is just hypothetical. It's mental. And there are many times you will not discover it by taking that list, by taking that test. The only way to find out is you be available. You try different things. When you see a need, be faithful. The problem with that taking that test, you will not even try something. Oh, based on the test, I don't have that gift. There was a girl. She was asked by her pastor, why don't you start a ministry for the age, for older people? You know what the girl said? Pastor, I don't have that gift. I cannot do it. You know what the pastor said? We need somebody to do it. Do it. I will help you. Just begin it. Ladies and gentlemen, the girl responded to a need. See, don't use that excuse. I don't have the gift of help. I'm not going to help you. No, when there's a need, and you know God wants you to do something about it. Well, she began that ministry for older people. Can I tell you what happened? The ministry began to bloom. It grew and grew under her leadership. And then she gave her testimony. I never thought I had the gift of leadership. I never thought I had the gift of teaching. But in this ministry, I had to teach. I had to live. I never knew I had this gift. You see, some of you have gifts lying dormant. You'll never know until you what? You try. Well, David was faithful. He was a faithful boy. He ran back and forth. And because he was faithful, he was not proud. Faithful in small things. The Bible tells us one day he was asked to visit his brothers, and he was right there at the right place at the right time. He saw the problem. What was the problem? Everybody read this, please. The champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming from the army of the Philistines and spoke these same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel saw the man. They fled from him and were greatly afraid. What was the Philistine? What was Goliath saying? Goliath keeps repeating the same sentence. You know what is the sentence? Bring your champion and we will fight. If I win, you serve us. If I lose, we will serve you. Understand? That's what Goliath was doing every day. For how many days? For 40 days. The Bible tells us you have the army of Israel, the army of the Philistine, and you have Goliath coming down, and Goliath was challenging everybody. Now, Goliath was a giant. Understand? He was big. What happened to the people? Verse 24. All the men of Israel saw the man. When they saw him, what happened? They were afraid. Where was David? At the right time, at the right place. He saw the problem. At the right time, he heard about the problem. He saw the problem. What did he do? He volunteered. You see, when you are walking with the Lord, there is a certain boldness that will come. David said, let me do something about the problem. If you ask me, this is a comedy. You know why? Can you imagine two armies, one facing each other every morning? Hello. And then the champion will come up. Goliath, fight me, fight me. Nobody will fight. And then nighttime will come. The next morning, hello, hello, good morning. They did that for 40 days. So David said, what is happening? There was a problem. What's the problem? Goliath. All right? David said, let's do something about the problem. By the way, do you have Goliaths in your life? You have Goliaths in your life? Yes or no? Yes. Well, what are you going to do about it? For some of us, you are into denial. You are afraid to face your Goliath. You are afraid to face your problem. Because you have never understood the ministry of the Spirit of God. When God is with you, you are bigger and stronger than all your problems. But you will not know. You will not experience the resources of God, what God can do, until you face the Goliaths of your life. Well, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this guy. Saul said to David, David, you are not able to go. You are but a youth. He has been a warrior from his youth. Was David discouraged? You see, there was a problem. Nobody will solve the problem. If nobody will solve the problem, David's philosophy, I will solve the problem. Now, how will I solve the problem? David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go. May the Lord be with you. David had the approval of the authority. David was submissive to authority, but David's confidence was in God. David said, God did it in the past. He can do it again. You see, when you want to know your gift, you must have the right attitude. It is used to what? To help others. Is there any problem that the community is facing, your family, your group? Well, God is telling you to do something about it. Why don't you try? Try. Understand? Don't be afraid to fail. Failure is never final. In fact, can I tell you the blessing of failure? The blessing of failure is to teach you what not to do next time and what to do about other things. Can I tell you something? When CCF was beginning, did I tell you what I tried to do? When CCF was beginning, I was in charge of music. I was in charge of announcement. I was in charge of the message. I was in charge of ushering. I was in charge of funeral. I was in charge of wedding. I was in charge of everything. You know why? There was nobody else. And then the church began to grow. And then the elders came and talked to me. Peter, may we suggest that you focus on preaching and teaching, but don't do music anymore. You know why I felt sad? Because they are missing out on a great musician. They are missing out on the wonderful music that I can provide. Did I feel bad? You know what? The body of Christ. I tried everything. You see, in my mind, I have the gift of music. In their mind, relax, relax. Wow, ka na mag-music. Dito ka lang. Anyway, as far as my wife is concerned, I have the gift of music, okay? What's my point? You try. You see a need, do it. Now, do you see needs in CCF? Do you see needs? Not in the context of the body of Christ, the church. You are very important in your D12, in your D group. You see needs, you see people with problems. Maybe God is telling you, you go, but you're afraid. I cannot solve this problem. Well, you have Goliath in your life, you'll be like David. David, look at his past. You got to look at your past experiences. David said, the Lord delivered me. He can deliver me again. You know, I want you to realize, with God, nothing is what? Impossible. But you will not know your gift until you face the Goliaths of your life. You got Goliaths in your life? Yes or no? You got problems? Let me ask you, be honest with me. What are the fears of your life? Are you afraid of things? Are you afraid of something? You know, as a young lady, I said, if God will provide for all of your needs, if God can provide for all of your needs, all the resources you need, what do you really want to do with your life? That's a good question. Let me ask you, has God gifted you with something? Yes or no? You know, that passion in you will grow. If God has gifted you to do something, that desire will always be there. It may die a little. But when you hear the message of God, you're awakened again. Say, Lord, I've been burying my gift. I've been afraid of the Goliaths of my life. Let me go out and do it. Some of you are staying where you are for too long. You need to move out. How do you face your Goliaths? In the strength of the Lord. As we close, look at what David said. David said, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. David was concerned for the reputation and the glory of God. You want to know God's gift for your life? Don't do it to exalt yourself. Don't do it for people to say, wow, what a guy. That is never the motive. It is always for the glory of God to help others. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you down, remove your head from you. I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth. Everybody read that phrase. That all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. My prayer, CCF as a church, we will all work together that the Philippines, that the world will know that God is our God. That Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. But I tell you, the church is weak today. All over the country, all over the world, churches are sick because they don't understand we are all to be involved because we are all gifted with the Holy Spirit and we are all to help each other. Many people are just doing nothing. The church is sick. And that's why the world is not coming to Christ. The world will not come to Christ when they see us quarreling, when they see us competing with each other. They will only come to know Jesus if we work together as like a human body. All the parts are functioning together for the glory of God. And that's what happened here. You know what David said? Everybody read. That all the assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword, or by spear. The battle is the Lord. Can I tell you something? The ministry is the Lord. You want God to do mighty things in and through CCF? Yes or no? Through the body of Christ, through your life? Well, friends, surrender your life. Depend on the Spirit of God. And how do you do it? Number one, know you have a gift. Yes or no? Number two, what must you do? Use it. But can I tell you something? You cannot even begin if you don't have the Spirit of God. Everything begins with the Spirit of God. For David, the Spirit of God came upon him. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you have religion, but you don't have the Spirit of God. The first thing you need to do is to have the Holy Spirit in your life. How do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? You surrender your life to Him. You say, Lord Jesus, I invite You as my Lord and Savior. I have never experienced the reality of Your Spirit in my life. If you have not experienced this, friends, God wants you to have the assurance of salvation. The assurance of salvation is when the Holy Spirit will assure you. Understand? You are not just assured by the Word of God. That's one kind of assurance. There's another kind of assurance. When you're assured by the Spirit of God, the Bible says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If you are not walking with the Spirit of God, you are not experiencing the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, do not be satisfied with that kind of Christianity. You need to understand to surrender your life to the fullness of the Spirit. Is that a good prayer to pray? Lord Jesus, I surrender my all. I want You to fill me. I want to listen to You. I want to walk with You. Amen? Let's bow our heads. If you have never invited Jesus as your Lord and Savior, why don't you pray that prayer right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I'm not sure of my own salvation. I'm not sure that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Because I'm not even sure that I have Your Spirit. I don't see changes in my life. I don't see transformation. Lord Jesus, today, I humble myself. I ask You, Spirit of the living God, fill me today. Help me to be willing to surrender my all to You. Help me to be willing to listen to You. Help me to be willing to volunteer to do what You want me to do. Father God in heaven, I just thank You that even though we have many Goliaths in our lives, You are bigger than our Goliaths. That You want us to step out in faith. Help us to be willing to face our Goliaths and help us to depend upon You because the battle is Yours and not ours. And help us to experience the power of Your Spirit as we obey You, as we step out in faith. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.